Okay, let's dive into the source you've shared with us. We've got an email newsletter here dated May 21, 2025. It's titled No Agenda News.
Right.
And our goal today is really to unpack this specific document, pull out the key bits of info, the insights, and just see what kind of picture it was painting on that particular day.
Yeah, what's interesting right off the bat is just the sheer variety of stuff in one newsletter. You know, you've got political commentary, some specific news takes, and then like a whole lot about how the outlet itself operates and gets supported.
Exactly. It's like a little snapshot.
It really is. And our job here is to sort of guide you through these different pieces, pull out the
Yep.
main claims, the points they're making, so you can get the gist of it pretty quickly.
Makes you wonder what just one newsletter can tell us about the conversation happening at that moment, right?
It definitely does. And this one, well, it wastes no time, jumps right into some pretty hefty claims about the political scene back in May 2025.
Yeah, I saw that. In the Tomorrow's Show section, it kicks off with this idea that the Trump administration might be gearing up to investigate people it calls the conspirators who they allege were, running the country during the Biden presidency.
The language is quite direct there. It says there are more and more hints pointing towards this investigation. And it explicitly says that as things come out, revelations is the word they use. It's becoming clear, at least according to this source, that the former president wasn't really the one in charge then.
So if not him, who does the newsletter say was running the show?
Well, it points the finger at a group it calls Obama acolytes. That's a specific term used.
Okay, Obama acolytes. And what's their alleged agenda, according to this newsletter?
The source frames it as pushing a socialist agenda, and it connects this directly to promoting transgenderism, the abolition of the nuclear family,
Wow.
and ultimately, in the newsletter's own words, the destruction of the country. It's a, well, a very critical narrative they're laying out about who they thought was pulling the strings.
That's definitely a forceful connection the source is making there. And then, almost immediately after these big claims, it pivots, right? To talk about former President Biden's health.
Yes, it notes that just as things were heating up, Biden got diagnosed with a very late stage prostate cancer. But the newsletter doesn't just report that fact.
No, it adds commentary.
Exactly. It calls the timing quite dubious. It's clearly suggesting there's more to the story, or at least implying a specific interpretation of why that news came out then.
Right. And it also mentions a lengthy post by Trump that it calls a hint of what's to come, but doesn't actually detail what was in the post, at least not here.
And there's a quick sort of jab at the New York Times, too.
Oh, yeah. What about?
It claims the NYT now has to label its content to avoid confusion, adding that apparently the default is fiction.
Ouch. Okay. So that's a pretty clear statement on how this source views a major traditional media outlet, positioning itself in opposition.
Definitely sets up a contrast.
So moving on from those national figures and institutions, the newsletter shifts focus again. There's this section titled, "What is Wrong with Maine? Why Maine?"
Yeah, that's interesting. The section, well, as presented in this source, it asks why Maine has supposedly become the nexus of the transgenderist movement. That's the phrase they use. And it zeroes in on one example, Maine State House Representative Laura Libby.
Laura Libby, and what's the story there, according to the newsletter?
It frames her situation as basically just, quote, calling out the problem of biological boys and girls sports. Pretty specific issue.
And for doing that.
For even broaching the topic, the newsletter says she was censored by the legislative body. It does mention the Supreme Court later restored her status, but the focus is really on questioning that initial censorship.
Okay, so they highlight that specific case, and then they seem to broaden it out.
They do. They connect this specific incident in Maine to what they suggest is a wider effort to, quote, silence those who question transgenderism and shut them up for good if you can.
So linking a state-level event to maybe a bigger pattern.
Exactly. And it leads them to ask this larger kind of speculative question. You have to wonder what the master plan might be regarding all this. And then it concludes that section by saying, whatever it is, it cannot be anything positive.
So using a local example to hint at potentially these larger unseen agendas again, it's a technique.
It seems to be, yeah, connecting the dots as they see them.
So we've seen these national political claims,
Yeah.
the specific state-level example building their narrative, and then quite a shift, it seems. The newsletter starts talking about itself.
Yes, very explicitly. There's a bold declaration. No agenda is your true independent media. That's a core part of their identity, clearly.
And how do they back that up? What's the reasoning given?
The reasoning provided is that the show, quote, is not owned by a large corporation nor beholden to advertisers, and is solely supported by you, meaning the listener.
Okay. So listener support is key to their independence claim.
Absolutely. And they reinforce this by saying, there are no creepy advertisers or corporate or communist influencers telling us what to cover and how to slant things. It's very much setting themselves apart from, you know, traditional or corporate media structures.
Right. And emphasizing that listener support, well, that leads very naturally into a big chunk of the newsletter, doesn't it? Detailing how people can actually provide that support.
Oh, yes. It gets very specific. There are several different ways mentioned. There's an appeal tied to Memorial Day, which they call a V4V random donation, value for value.
A value for value. Okay.
And they also mention a listener tradition based on the show date being a palindrome, suggesting a traditional palindrome donation for that specific date.
Interesting little traditions there. And they encourage becoming an executive producer.
Yes. For a lifetime credit, which the newsletter says you can, quote, leverage forever. So a permanent recognition.
And what about the actual mechanics? How do people donate?
Well, they covered the standard online methods,
yeah.
You know, PayPal and Stripe for credit cards. But they also put quite a bit of emphasis on sending a physical check.
A check? They give an address.
They do. It's P.O. Box 339 El Cerrito, C.A. 94530. That's spelled out. P.O. Box 339 El Cerrito, California 94530.
Got it. El Cerrito, California.
And they even make a point of saying that non-USA checks written in foreign currency are accepted, which kind of broadens the appeal for international listeners using traditional methods.
So covering a lot of bases there. Online, offline, even international checks.
Mm-hmm. And they really stress recurring donations, too. They call them sustaining donations and say they make the show healthier.
Right. And they suggest specific amounts for those subscriptions.
Yes. Quite a few tiers. There's $33.33 a month, $11.11 a month, even breaking it down to smaller chunks like $4 a week or 75 cents an hour.
75 cents an hour, okay.
And there's a bigger one mentioned too, a $50 a month knighthood layaway for 20 months.
A layaway plan for knighthood? Interesting.
And finally, they also just say, you know, you can do a do-it-yourself open donation for any amount you choose. So lots of options.
It really underscores how central that direct listener funding model is to them.
Mm.
Based on how much space and detail they give it here.
Absolutely. It's presented as fundamental to their operation and their identity.
The newsletter also briefly mentions other regular bits like memes of the week and hypocrite of the week, though we don't see the actual content for those here.
Right, just the segment titles. And there's a postscript, a PS at the end, specifically reminding people again about sending checks by mail to that El Cerrito P.O. Box.
P.O. Box 339, El Cerrito, C.A. 94530.
Correct. And it ends with, your support means everything, reinforcing that message one last time.
So quite a journey through this one newsletter. We've seen how it presents these political claims, investigations, alleged agendas, then uses specific examples like from Maine to talk about social issues and censorship.
Mm-hmm.
And then pivots hard into defining itself as independent media and really laying out chapter and verse how listeners can support it financially. Checks to the P.O. Box in El Cerrito, California, online options, recurring plans.
Yeah, all those different methods.
It's a really dense mix packed into one communication.
It is. And if you sort of zoom out and think about the bigger picture, looking closely at just one source like this, well, it really shows you the specific stories being built, right? The examples they choose to back them up.
Yeah.
And also the nuts and bolts, the mechanisms the platform uses to keep itself going. It kind of raises an interesting question, doesn't it? How much does a media outlet's funding model, especially one they emphasize so heavily, how much does that influence the actual message it sends out? Not just about the world, but about its own trustworthiness and independence.
That's definitely something to think about, the interplay between the money, the message, and that claim of independence. Well, thanks for letting us take this deep dive into your sources with you today.